the journey over the last few months with their miracle little baby. And David's been gracious enough to come this morning on their first Mother's Day, mind you. And I was like, mate, you sure? And there was just something that David said, and this is something that I really want to do and that Lisa really believes in that that they should do this morning. So I'm not going to talk anymore. I'm going to actually ask David to come and share his story. So can we put our hands together for David and Dad?
Look, it's great to be here, guys, and a little bit nervous at the moment, so you have to forgive me if a tear comes out with a bit of emotion. But look, first thing I want to say is thank you, God, because God has been so great to me, you know, from when I was born. But he's been with me throughout my life, and from the day I was born to when I lost my father at 5 years of age, my uncle presented me with a book of Jesus, and from that day, Jesus has been with me, and that's when I got to know who Jesus was. Going through my years, you know, I grew up, went up into my early teens and my 20s, and I forgot God. And, you know, I was all about ego and about me and about, you know, how good I was and, you know, how we get caught up. You know, it was all about the money and the things that don't really matter in life. And I went off my path with God. And at about the age of 26, 27 years of age, you know, I was a self-made millionaire. I'd built a couple of businesses and I was flying. And, you know, I questioned God. I didn't even believe in God, really, to a certain degree. I thought, there's no God, you know. Until then, the most important person in my life, my mother, at that stage, had a car accident. And she had brought us up as a widow, three kids. She was a remarkable woman and she meant everything to me. And I was in the ICU and a Christian came up to me just out of the blue. It's amazing how God presents himself. He came up and he said, don't worry, Jesus is with you. My sister had, she was 12 weeks pregnant. I had a business that I was running that, you know, I thought I was invincible. And my mother had just retired. And the doctor said, look, she's got bleeding in the brain, 47 broken bones, she probably won't live. We're going to turn the machine off. So I went straight to the church. I went straight to Jesus. I was on my knees. I was a broken man. And I prayed. And I prayed from the bottom of my heart. And God didn't let me down. You know, 9 months and she went through professed a training. She came up. She can talk. She can walk. She's still around now. She's 68 years of age. She's a strong woman. She's a woman of God. And God didn't leave me. He showed me that, you know, all those plastic things around, they don't mean a thing. So years went by and, you know, from the age of 25 to 35, I was out there cutting deals, making millions of dollars, you know, thought I was too good, forgot God again, you know, went through my life and forgot him and questioned God again, you know, start searching because I like to search and, you know, looked on the internet, and it's good to listen to people that think they know what they're talking about, but, you know, philosophers, you know, I started studying everything, and they make sense, but no one makes sense like God. So as I go through my path, I'm pretty depressed in life. I'm 34 years of age. I'm going from woman to woman, woman to woman, depressed, no substance. My values aren't there. You know, I'm going for the wrong thing, you know, all the plastic fantastic. It just doesn't work. And I meet Lisa, this beautiful girl, my wife, and we hit it like this. And God presented Lisa to me. I really believe that. You know, so we're getting married, have a family. The family didn't come. So what a journey this has been after 28 rounds of IVF. If anyone knows what IVF is, it's, you know, 28 rounds. I'm talking, you know, in the hundreds of thousands of dollars I've spent on IVF and 140 embryos transferred from my wife. And if anyone understands that, that'll send someone crazy. So every cycle you go through IVF, it really smashes you. You know, you've got to take injections, promotes the embryo. They inject my sperm with the embryo. Doesn't work. So it's a roller coaster ride. And, you know, through that time, we're wanting to kill each other because, you know, we're hoping, yes, pregnant, no. Yeah, and it's such a hard slog going through that. You just, you can't understand the pain that you go through when you think you're pregnant and you're not. And that's 8 years. And, you know, we're on the brink. But, you know, we stuck solid together. And God was presenting himself in many ways in my life then. You know, I had a good friend, Sean Trinder, who through business, I'd met Sean through business. And unfortunately, it wasn't the best circumstance to meet Sean Trinder, but what a great Christian he was. You know, what a great man he was. And he always would preach the word of God to me. And I'm like, yeah, whatever. You know, we're walking down the beach and, hey, Sean, you know, verse 9, you know, Luke 7. I'm looking at Sean and thinking, just shut up, man. You know, there's all, you know, these people think we're weird, you know. But I don't want to tell him that because deep down inside, you know, I'm a man of God as well. You know, and I, but just relax, you know. You're telling me the whole Bible as we're walking down the beach, you know. I didn't want to tell Sean that, but I thought I'd, you know. But that's Sean Trinder, and God's presenting himself to me all the time. And deep down inside, I know that. But I just shove it to the side and, yeah, whatever. You know, so I go on doing my own things, cutting another million, you know, selling another business, more money in the bank, big deal, you know, empty. Means nothing, you know, means absolutely nothing, you know. Every time I'd make $1 million, I'd be more depressed. I know people find that hard to believe, but it's true. Because I had nothing there. I didn't have God there. I didn't have the truth there. I was lost. And, you know, you can have all the money in the world and without and knowing God, you know when you know God. And I can tell you how I know God now through my experience, and I'll continue to go through that journey. So, you know, we've travelled to Adelaide, Professor so-and-so. He's the best, you know, IVF doctor. Didn't work. Gone to Sydney, didn't work, you know. We've gone everywhere. So then we went to Sydney and one IVF doctor said, look, you know, I'm going to send you to this doctor. They call him The Rock. He could get a rock pregnant. So he does, you know. So I... he could get a rock. Anyway, so I can't remember the circumstances and how it happened, but I was walking with Sean on the beach when he was going on about the verses in the Bible and he said, I said, look, I'm really depressed, man. Lisa's doing my head in, you know. She's just really aggressive. She's really, she's got anxiety. She's stressed out. He says, do you want me to pray for her? I said, oh, mate, she probably might really take this God thing on, you know. She's just not like me, you know, because Lisa was sort of just a little bit different, right? Not believed, but too scared to come out and admit it. So Sean goes over there and he starts preaching, you know, the beach stuff. You know, right? And she's crying, and you know, and I've had a go, and yeah, I think she gave her heart to the Lord, Dave. So that's good. So that next week, I came to church, and you know, I come to church, I can't stop crying. It's terrible. You know, I listen to the music, and I'm just touched. It smashes me. And for those who are new and coming to the church, you'll know what it's like because you just it just hits you. And it was, to be honest, the first time I came to church, it was so uncomfortable because I was so overwhelmed with the emotion. And that's God touching you, I know that. But it's just, it smashed me. And anyway, Lisa got pregnant, you know. But we lost it after 6 weeks. So that was hard. And we still had the faith. We kept on going. And Lisa got pregnant again. She lost it after 10 weeks. So then I came to church, I think it was the December, the Christmas, and, you know, I prayed, I gave my heart to the Lord. I sat with Phil, he prayed for us because he knew what had happened. And we went away. We had the last embryo. I was over it. I didn't want to do IVF anymore. I was on the phone to a surrogate that had gotten Elton John's children pregnant, whatever. It was an American surrogate with our eggs. We've got to transport them. $200,000 just to put our embryos into another lady so we could have a child. I'm on the phone and Lisa said, oh, look, I just did the pregnancy test, Dave. Have a look at it. If it's two lines, we're pregnant. And I was over it. I didn't even want to look. I had the flu. I walk into the bathroom. I said, you're pregnant. It's two lines. So we hung up on the surrogate. We said, thank you very much. We don't need it. And we were sort of over the moon. And that was God. That was God, you know. That was the faith that we had. That was Lisa and I giving our hearts to the Lord and sticking with God again, not letting me down. He didn't let me down ever. And I knew that I thank God every minute. And I'm walking down that beach. Lisa's, you know, it was a miracle. She's pregnant. 28 rounds, 140 embryos, the last one. Anyway, magnificent. So what happens then? Let me get to it because it's you don't know all this because you just know what you've seen on the screen. So Lisa's pregnant. What a dream pregnancy. She looks like Miranda Kerr. She's just got this stomach with no fat. You know, she looks, and the whole time we're experiencing a meal. And our doctor was so good that he actually sent Lisa, it was like VIP service because of her age and how what she'd gone through. And she was getting monitored three times a week to see the heartbeat. So I'd take her to St. Vincent's and it was a joke, you know. It was like she was some celebrity. Everything's perfect. Everything measured perfect. Every scan was perfect. I thank God every day. Anyway, the best day of my life, you know, the 26th of January, 2012, Emil is born. I see him come out. He's kicking away. Doctor pulls him out. I said, how big is he, Doc? Is he 10, 11 pounds? They go, no, he's only small, scrawny thing, 6 pounds. You know, my ego dropped again, you know. I thought, oh, are you sure? I said, oh, we can pump him up. Anyway, so we're in St. Vincent's private and, you know, he's looking great. People are coming over, the whole thing. Anyway, we could see a little vein pumping in the side of his neck. And we did question the nurse, it was the carotid artery. And we questioned, we said, is there something wrong there? Should that be pumping? And she said, no, that's normal because, you know, they're newborns. Anyway, we went home. And this is how God works again. He works beautifully. I argued with Lisa. I wanted all the family, being ethnic, I wanted all the families to come over. No families. Come, my wife's Australian. No families. I don't want anyone over. All right. You know, we're arguing through that, but I thought I better shut up because she's the boss and whatever she wants. So she was watching Emil and she said, look, he just doesn't look right on the Wednesday. She was 9 days old. I came home. I said, ring the paediatrician. So we rang the paediatrician and he said, look, I've got one space left. Bring him straight down. So we drove down to the Freemasons Hospital. He looked at him and just then I knew something was wrong. Emil was crying. He was breathing and he was breathing really heavy. And I looked at the doc. I said, he measured his oxygen. It was at 92. And he said, I could have, you know, a virus or something like that. And I said, okay. He goes, take him straight down to the Children's Hospital. We're in the Children's Hospital in emergency department. And man, was it an experience. It just was the worst day of my life. From being the best days of our lives, happy, you know, it just smashed me. So we're in emergency and they scanned his heart and it was enlarged. And I looked at the emergency doctor. I said, listen, don't tell me the truth. What's going on? He goes, well, your son's a very sick boy. He's got an enlarged heart. And I said, what does that mean? And my wife was crying. They had the social worker, Bonnie, there. When Bonnie came over, the social worker, I knew we were in deep trouble. I thought, you know, this is serious because they don't bring a social worker into... They're preparing us. And anyway, to cut a long story short, he said, look, structurally, if the heart's not right, then he could be very sick. Anyway, the cardiologist came down, a French girl called Sophia. She examined his heart and she said, no, structurally, the heart's good. There's a little hole in the heart, but that normally closes. Seems good. Doctor goes, good. And this is how good the Children's Hospital are. They are magnificent, you know, and that's a gift from God because, you know, everyone there, a collaboration of doctors and emergency and everyone, the nurses, they are just brilliant. They diagnosed my son's condition, which is vein of Galen malformation, within 45 minutes. Now, this is a 1 in 3 million rare condition, so that's how rare it is. You don't see it. They see one patient every 2 years maybe. And what it is... It's a malformation in the back of the vein of our brain. Now, we've all got the vein of Galen where my son's vein was 2 centimetres when it should be 2 millimetres. So it was shunting blood to his heart and it was causing him to be in heart failure. So they diagnosed that and that night was just a nightmare. It was a roller coaster, but we had a brilliant set of doctors. They stayed right onto it until this day. And this is how God works. You know, I was that minute then, I got on the phone to Sean Trinder and I said, pray for me. And I went straight to God again. You know, I forget God all the time, but God's always there for me all the time. And it brings shivers when I say this because you go through life and you forget, but God never forgets you. And anything could have happened in this time. I could have lost my son, but we didn't lose my son. So what they said to is that they were going to try and get him off the ventilator to see if he could breathe on his own on diuretics. Not the case. So just to summarise this, 15 years ago, children with my son's condition would have died. So there's a professor here called Peter Mitchell, who is one of five in the world, that slits a little hole, little 4-millimetre slit up the groin, and they run up the main artery and they embolise in this. So if you've got it's an aneurysm in the vein, and they coil it and it stops the flow and it saves their life. Now, number one, positive, the Lord looking after my son, no brain damage. That's the number one thing that can happen with these children. But my son's brain, no brain damage. Brain's intact. So, you know, tick, miracle, positive. You know, thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. You know, talking to God every second of, I'm just in the moment. I'm not thinking about my business deals. I'm not thinking about, I'm only with Jesus, my son, my wife, and people of God that want to pray for my son. And I thank you all, whoever prayed for my son, I thank you. So, yes, we go into embolization. This is the most scariest time. You know, we've got the little recording that Phil prayed, that powerful day that he prayed here in the church, and we listened to it at Ridges while we're staying at a hotel across the road, and we did not stop crying because we were so emotional. But I'm sitting in that room to the lead up of the embolization. It's called embolization because they cut a little hole up and they coil, they throw. And we met the doctor before, and he said, look, it's pretty grim. I just have to tell you, one in three kids die through the embolization, through hemorrhage of the vein. One in three of them get brain damage, and one in three are normal. And I'd known all this because I'd Googled and studied and looked at a million, you know, case reports, but my wife, she didn't know any of this, and she broke down. She was smashed. And I said, don't worry, God's with us. And she opened her heart up even more to God. And this is, you know, this girl that didn't want to know about God. And we prayed in the room. And as I was praying in the room, I had this feeling come across me. And for those of you who know God, you'll know the feeling. And it said to me, David, everything will be all right. I knew it. So I went away and I continued to pray. And I still had fear. I still had anxiety because I was smashed. You know, my son's there. He's looking at me with his eyes. And you'll bring some photos up. Oh, you've got photos behind me. I didn't even know. So there he is, and that's a breathing tube there, and you know he's just about to go into embolization on the 29th of Jan, and he went in, and the doctor comes out, and we're hanging on, and he says, all went well. I got 99% of it. All went well. Now the critical time is after the surgery. What happens, how he reacts, how his brain reacts. Anyway, we come the next morning. All the doctors in collaboration together. You've got a neurologist, you've got a cardio specialist, you've got everyone. One of the doctors pulls us over and says, look, we had an incident last night. He had a stroke. Oh, God. I was smashed. But it's all right. It hasn't affected his brain. It's hit a small part of his vision. Does that mean he's blind? Oh, no, but it might mean that he will have peripheral vision damage. But you know what? It also might mean that it could repair because the brain's so plastic that it could heal. And I never once thought that my son was sick this whole time. I never once thought that my son would be hindered by this, not one second of this moment. I knew that the Lord would look after my son. And that's a big statement to make, but that's something that I believe within my heart because God had put it on my heart. So he's progressing beautifully. He's following, he's tracking, everything's going really well. The doctors are loving his progress. They take him out of NICU, which is, you know, intensive care ICU, and they put him into, you know, just special care, getting ready to go home. The flows have started to pick up. The arteries that they've closed off have opened up elsewhere, in for embolization. Panic stations again. And this is generally the case because they can't close this aneurysm off in one hit. It's too dangerous, especially with a newborn, because with neonates, which is, you know, what my son was, is a high mortality rate, except for this magnificent Dr. Peter Mitchell, who has pioneered and said that there is still very good success, but without the hand of God watching and the people praying and the energy there, my son wouldn't be here today. Second embolization, 100% magnificent. You know, Sean was there. He was praying in the room, and perfect. Flows have reduced. 2 weeks later, we're home. I don't know if you've got the photos of us going home, but you can see us walking out of there. Another happy day, you know. I can't explain to you the feeling going through on a daily basis of going through the hospital, but it was like I was talking to God because I was reading the Bible, and it was enriching me, it was strengthening me. I was partnering with God in many ways, you know, and I was learning so much. I was learning about patience, which I don't have. I have 30 coffees a day. I'm like someone, you know, with AD. I'm like, yeah. And I had to sit there, and I had to be patient with God. God taught me patience because there was nothing else. He taught me courage. He taught me so many virtues that I just don't practice even today. And he's humbled me in every way, where I was so proud that, you know, there's nothing to be proud about, because I was on my knees and there was nobody else. And I was sharing to my friends who weren't Christians that you have to pray for me. You have to talk to God for me. You have to get on your knees for me. They're looking at me going, are you all right? Yeah, you're not losing it on us. But, and I'll continue to tell them that it was the Lord Jesus that helped my son, helped my family, and where we are today. So to tell you a little bit more about my son and where we're going at the moment, he's 4 months of age now, and he went and had an MRI on Thursday of last week, and he had his echo on his heart checked, and the flows have slowed down, and we're hoping, we're praying, we're believing that the vein of Galen malformation is shrinking and that he won't need an embolization this year, if any. So Peter Mitchell said to us on the last embolization, there's a 90% chance that he will need another embolization and a 10% chance that he doesn't. And we reckon the 10% chance might surpass that, and it might start to shrink. And that's what I believe, because every day I speak to God, and God gives me this strength, and he makes me feel so powerful. And I'm so emotional about the Lord Jesus Christ and what he's put on my heart. Excuse me 1 minute. And I so want to teach my son about Jesus. And I just want to say thank you to everyone here for what this beautiful... I mean, look at him now. He looks gorgeous. And I wish he was here. And Lisa's actually wanted to say a few things. She couldn't come today. Well, it's a bit hard for him to go in the car because he chucks a hissy fit. He gets a bit colicky and refluxy, so it's Mother's Day. We thought we'd keep them at home. But she actually wanted to say something to you guys. So I don't know if you've got the clip up there. You can throw it on. There we go. So, I mean, you know, giving you a bit of a life story and what else I can say about God is God's always there. For anyone who's down and out, there wasn't a second in my life that I thought, oh, why me? Why has this happened? Because, I mean, we've been trying for 8 years and the stress it's put on us. You know, I'm blessed. Look at my son, regardless of what... I mean, I think he's a miracle anyway, but, you know, if you saw the clip, it was amazing, Emil. But, you know, he is a blessing, and he will grow and he will be strong. And whatever God, however God shapes him, we love him. And it's just, it's a beautiful thing, because no one wants to see their child sick or go through pain. But when you're confronted with death in your face, there's an opening to life there. And the Lord Jesus Christ showed me the life and showed me how life can be. Now, I'm not saying that anyone has to go through this to understand God, but it's amazing how God presents himself through hard circumstances if you just open your heart and you embrace the Lord. So, you know, amen to everyone. And, you know, I thank you all for listening to my story, because it means a lot to me. And I was writing my story day by day, sitting by his bed, and I wanted to tell this story of how great God is for blessing us. So, you know, thank you, guys.
Thanks, David. Yes, Australia Day this year is etched in my memory and will be for life, getting the call to come in and sit and pray with these guys, with Sean. Just incredible. You know, we thank God for doctors and the Children's Hospital. They do just an amazing job. In the midst of all of that, just to see God moving the way that he did, undoubtedly, is just phenomenal. And I just have to commend you, David and Lisa, for, I guess, in those circumstances, people can either run from God and blame God, or they can run to God, and which is where you found your strength and answer, and God has certainly come through for you. So, yeah, it's been our privilege to be able to be on this journey with you, mate. And obviously it goes without saying, but anything we can do as a church for you guys, we're here for you. But actually, David, we really want you just to go home, actually, and go home, have some time with your family, mate. I don't want to kick you out, but before you go, I do want you to come back here, because we want to pray for you, and we've just got something for Lisa and for you guys. But we love you, and if we could just stand this morning, we're just going to pray for David, Lisa, and Emil. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for David being here with us this morning, and that he has shared this just really intense story, Lord God, that David really wanted you honoured and glorified for the way that you have been faithful, Lord God, throughout his whole life, but particularly the last 4 months, Lord God, has just been so evident that you have never left, never forsaken, and that you have come through in ways that have surpassed expectation. And we praise you today. And we want to thank you again publicly, Lord God, for Emil. We thank you for this precious little boy, Lord God, that we get to experience and get to love and see the smile on his face and the joy that he brings to David and Lisa, Lord. He's just such an answer to prayer, and he's a gift from you to them. So I pray, Father, as David goes home today, that they would just know your presence. They would know your peace. Lord God, being a parent for the first time, there are so many unknowns. There are so many things where you just go, I don't know what to do. I pray for that strength and patience. I pray for that godly wisdom, Lord God, that they would know, Lord God, the way in which to raise Emil in the way in which you want him to go. And Lord God, for the word that I had for Emil in hospital, Lord God, as he was approaching the embolization, but you put in my heart, I just want to prophesy again today that you have given Emil a voice. You've given a voice to either sing or speak. The day will come, Father God, where he will stand and he will testify to your goodness. And it will impact so many people's lives. So, Lord God, we thank you for this little man, this little gift from you, that his voice will be used to glorify you and to bring honor to you, the great King. And so we commit David and Lisa to you and baby Emil. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. But we've got some flowers for Lisa, and we bought a bunch for you so that you can give them to Lisa yourself to say.
Thanks, guys.
Saves you stopping in at the florist on the way home.
Thank you so much.
It means the world.
Mate, you can stay for as long as you like, but I wanted just to know that you're released to go.
Just God is great, and thank you very much for Compass Church. You know, I love you all. Thank you.
We can just bow our heads and close our eyes this morning. You know, I don't know everybody in the room, and it would be remiss of me on a day like this, and especially after what we've just heard, to give people the opportunity to come into the relationship that David was speaking about just now. And I pray that it doesn't take a set of circumstances, tragedy or hardship, for you to call upon the name of the Lord. But I want to give you that opportunity this morning that you have the ability to, whether it's put pride, put the pursuit of other things in life, that the Bible says come to nothing, that moth and rust will destroy, that there is only one thing that can satisfy, that Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life. and no one comes to the Father except through me. And so this morning, if you've never experienced His grace, His forgiveness in your life, you can't say you have that relationship with God. You're aware He's around and He's there, but you don't have that relationship with Him. I want to give you that opportunity right now. As no one's looking around. It's just me and one of our pastoral care team that we would love to talk to you after and we close the service. But if that's you today, say, yeah, Phil, I would love to have that relationship with God. I've tried different things. I've got stuff in my life. I need forgiveness. I want peace. I want my peace with God. If that's you today, can you just lift your hand and say, yeah, Phil, that's me today. On this Mother's Day, is there anyone here today who say, yep, that's me? Just give you a sec to think about that. Best decision you can ever make. I'm not asking you to become a religious person, not asking you to join this church. I'm asking you to start a life-changing encounter and relationship with the creator of the universe that loves you. Last time I'm going to ask, is there anyone at all that just says, yep, that's me. Phil? Cool. Well, we're going to close the service now. There's only one thing. I don't want to keep you any longer, but there's just one thing we need to do this morning. And I'm just going to ask Colleen if she's here. She's not here. She's not well. Okay, we'll do that next week. Okay, sorry. We just wanted to honour Colleen this morning, but we'll do that next week. So, all good. Well, thank you so much for being with us this morning. It's been great for you to be able to share your Mother's Day with us. We really appreciate you being here. And next week, we've got Michael will be preaching next week, and the week after, Preston will be here on the Sunday morning. And make sure you grab the info on the flyers about the school's tour and the big event and stuff. But have a very, very blessed day, and thanks again for coming to church.